All right. I think I like that one better than Who Are You from the last series. Man, good stuff. You know, you don't hear the Doobie Brothers every Sunday in church, do you? Great stuff, guys. Thank y'all so much. Thank you, Ian. How's everybody today? Doing okay? Good, good, good. Well, we have been talking about getting the word out. So essentially, we've been talking about taking it to the streets for the last couple weeks. This is week three of our Get the Word Out series, where we're sharpening our tools when it comes to sharing our faith. And so I've been very encouraged this week. So many of you have gotten involved in the small group aspect of that's running alongside this series. I think we got 90% of our membership involved in a small group. And just this week, I've heard some really encouraging stories about you being intentional, you being attentive to what God's doing around you. I've heard stories about faith conversations happening in nail salons. I've heard stories about faith conversations happening late at night in Irish pubs, believe it or not. I'm not taking it to the streets. Grocery stores, conversations on your lunch break at the office. And I am just so encouraged. It's amazing what God can do when we keep our antenna up, when we're attentive to what He's doing around us, when we're looking for opportunities to share our faith and to share our story with other people. So keep it up, church. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting the word out, and let's see what God can do with a handful of people who are really keeping their eye on the prize. Last week, if you'll remember, we talked about His story. We talked about the story of Jesus, who He is, and why He came. And I walked you through essentially a 90-second elevator speech, if you will, of Jesus' story. Again, who He is and why He came. And I hope everybody, we gave everybody just a little card, a little printout with His story on it. And I hope you've taken that, put it in the front of your Bible, put it on your mirror in your bathroom at home, and you're just walking through that every day so that you can have really something to say with confidence and competence when it comes to sharing with others who Jesus really is, being able to tell His story. Because knowing the gospel is essential to sharing the gospel. Well, today we're going to move from His story to your story, because we've all got a story. You know, before Jesus ascended, before He left this earth, 40 days after His resurrection, He left us with these words. And as His disciples stood and watched Him literally go up in a cloud, Jesus said these words to them. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." In other words, you're not alone in this thing. He says, "You'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him before their sight. God's plan to move the gospel globally is the testimony of those whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. God's plan to convey His story, in other words, is your story. And so if you're a follower of Christ, you've got a story to tell. Something significant that has changed in your life, and that change is the theme of your story. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. The old person has passed away, and the new person has come. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're different than you were. Something has changed in your life as you surrendered your life to Christ and He came to live within you and the Holy Spirit took up residence to abide in your life. You have been literally transformed from the old man or woman to the new man or woman. You know, some folks have dramatic stories to tell when it comes to how Christ changed them. Like the prodigal son who squandered everything in wild living. You remember the story. He ended up crashing his Harley and that drove him back to his father. He crawls back to his dad and his dad welcomes him, if you'll remember. His father representing God with arms open wide. He kills the fatted calf and celebrates with this sinner who came home. Some folks have stories like that. Some of you have stories like that. I have a story like that. But some stories are more subtle, like the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus knew a lot about God, but Nicodemus, if you'll read through the Gospels, it's interesting. Nicodemus came to Christ gradually as his eyes were opened to the truth of who Jesus was. And so every story is different, from Zacchaeus in a tree to the Philippian jailer being rocked by an earthquake as Paul and Silas sang praises to God. And God meets us where we are, and then He pivots the plot of our lives. Today we're going to talk about your story, and we're going to talk about how to tell it. And we're going to start with a great story in the Gospels. It's the story of a man who was born blind. The Bible tells us that Jesus was walking with His disciples through Jerusalem. And they pass a man that they had probably passed 100 times. He's a blind beggar. And His disciples stop Jesus and they ask Jesus, they say, "Why is this man blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin?" In other words, somebody must be at fault here. They don't have enough faith or they've got too much sin in their life. And it's resulted in this infirmity. And Jesus said, neither. He said, "He is blind so that God can display His power in his life." I don't know if we have many football fans out here or if anybody has seen this story. Y'all are actually here today. Anybody has seen this story? The blind long snapper for USC, Southern California. Has anybody seen this? The guy's name, I think his name is Jake Olson. He is blind, plays Division I football, and is a long snapper. And played in the game, I think, a week or two back and just perfect snap on an extra point. But what an amazing story. I started digging into his life a little bit. And he lost his sight. He could see, early on in his life, lost his sight to cancer. And lost one eye first, and then it kept coming back. And like 8 times later, I think he lost, his sight entirely. But played golf in high school. I don't know. Phenomenal athlete. Doesn't let it stop him. And is just a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Speaks all over the country and just encourages people and lets folks know that, hey, don't feel sorry for me. You know, I'm blind so that God could display His power in me. And that's exactly what Jesus said about this blind beggar who had been sitting in this one place his entire life, begging. Jesus responds to the blind man. You know the story. It's one of my favorites. He responds to the blind man, in a very predictable way. He spits on the ground in the dirt, makes a mud pie, and packs the mud pie in the guy's eyes. You just knew he was going to do this. And then he tells the, you know, the guy can't see what's coming, you know, and so he's like, what is going on? You know, he's just kind of putting the mud pies in his eye. And then Jesus says, okay, now just I want you to go and wash that off in the pool of Siloam. And so he does that. And when he goes and washes the mud out of his eyes there in Jerusalem, he essentially begins to see light for the first time. He begins to see figures around him. Can you imagine? He begins to see color. He begins to put a face with the voices that he's heard his entire life. He was blind, but now he sees. His neighbors and those who knew him, if you'll read the story in John chapter 9, they couldn't believe it was him. They said, whoa, 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 somebody's trying to pull a fast one here. They're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. I hesitated on that. But they said, that's not him. That's a lookalike. It says that that's not him. That's a guy that looks like him, but that cannot be him because this just is not possible. But it was him. And so he simply told them the story, his story, of what had happened. In John chapter 9, verse 11, the man they call Jesus, he said, hey, he tells it just like it happened. He made some mud and he put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and I washed, and then I could see. Guess what? That's his story. And we all have a story. He didn't exaggerate it. He didn't change any of the details of it. He just told them what he had experienced with Jesus. And when they asked him a question that he didn't know, they asked him, where is this man? Well, he didn't know the answer. I mean, in all the taking all of it in and processing everything, Jesus went on about his way. He didn't know where Jesus was. They said, where is this man? And you know how he answered a question that he didn't know the answer to? He said, I don't know. And so often we don't tell our stories. We don't share his story because we're afraid people are going to ask us questions that we can't answer. True? If somebody asks you a question, and this is biblical, somebody asks you a question you can't answer after you tell your story of what Jesus has done in your life, you need to say those three words. I don't know. I don't know. We don't have to know everything. And he didn't know it, and he owned it. And I've read this story 100 times, I'll bet you. And this is the first time that I've noticed it. That I've noticed that he was asked this question that he didn't know the answer to, and he didn't feel like he needed to have all the answers. What a beautiful thing, man. The Scripture is alive. And we see things and God points things out to us that are new and fresh every time we read it, if we'll allow Him to. And when you share your story and you're asked a question that you cannot answer, don't stammer, don't stutter, just say, hey, I don't know. I don't know. They then bring this guy to the Pharisees. You know, hey, you're not going to believe this, the God squad. These are guys who questioned everything that was outside of their authority. Not fans of Jesus at all. Because Jesus was wrecking the control they had over their religious world. And the Pharisees asked this man as they drag him. What a day for this guy. I mean, up to this point, I don't know. 35 years of kind of just sitting in the same place with a little cup, not seeing anything. You talking about a big day. You talking about a transformed life. I mean, this guy's all over the place. He's the star of the show. And the Pharisees ask him, what happened to you? And so he pulls it out again. The Pharisees ask him, man, how did you receive your sight? He put mud on my eyes. And I washed them, and now I can see. He just keeps telling the story. It's not a glamorous story. You know, have you ever met people who embellish their testimony? You know, you heard their testimony once 10 years ago that you only do this if you stay in the same church a long time, which I think is biblical, by the way. But you get to pick up on these things. It's like, wait a minute, that's not what he... That got a lot more interesting over the... You know, and so they're embellishing their testimony. They're making, you know... A lot of times you see people in their testimony, you know, it's just like all that they had to give up for Jesus. You know. He didn't do that. He could have. Maybe he could have said, you know, Jesus, well, by the time he got to the Pharisees, Jesus could have put gold coins in his eyes and laid hands on him and he was healed. But he sticks to the nitty-gritty truth of his testimony. We don't need to change a thing. No matter what your story is, if you were raised in the church and you came to Christ at age 8 and you've been a follower of Christ and devoted to Him and you're 58, 68, or 78, guess what? That's the kind of testimony God wants you to have. A lot of people say, I don't really have a story to tell. That's the... Man, there's more power in that, in you walking with Christ in this world your entire life, than there is, you know, you coming out of the biker gang and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with any of it, but do not be ashamed of a faithful following testimony of Jesus Christ. God uses our story no matter what it is. This guy didn't embellish. He didn't exaggerate. He didn't change things one bit. You don't have to have been in a biker gang. You don't have to have been strung out on drugs. You don't have to have lost all your money or have this seemingly powerful testimony. The reality is that, man, we are all empty. We're all in trouble here. Not to varying degrees. We're all in the same trouble here. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin for everybody is what? We're all in this thing together. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tell your story and then just let God connect the dots. Let God do what God does best. They call this guy's parents in, you know, it's like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? Call this guy's parents in to confirm his story. The Pharisees did, but they're afraid because they don't want to be associated with Jesus. They've been seeing what's happening to folks who are associated with Jesus. And they say, he's old enough. He's on his own now. He can tell his own story. You tell your story. You don't need somebody else to tell your story. You are responsible for telling your story. Nobody can tell it for you. It's your experience with Jesus, and only you can share that from the heart. And so the Pharisees, as they do, they begin to assassinate the character of Jesus. They said, we know this man. He's a sinner. They begin to shoot Jesus down. Going on, has been going on ever since that day until today, and it's ramping up even more and more and more. So we can expect this kind of thing in our culture today when we're willing to get out there and share Jesus. And it says, you know, we know this man's a sinner, so what are you doing? And this guy, once again, undeterred, he tells his story again. He says, hey, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, and I've been trying to tell you this, I was blind and now I can see. He's not a theologian. He's just sharing what just happened to him. That is miraculous, transformational, changed his life forever. That's his story, man, and he is sticking to it. Anybody, not that anybody ever is involved in toasting, okay, but you may have heard of this from a distance. Anybody ever heard of the toast at a wedding or anywhere else in an Irish pub? What, you know, where it's like, hey, here's the mud in your eye. Anybody ever heard of that? Hey, here's the mud in your eye. You know where that came from? Right here. That's where it came from. What a great opportunity to open up a situation where you can share your story. You can jump from, well, you know where that came from? It's this blind guy in the Bible. To open up an opportunity to share in a bar or a pub or at a wedding reception, wherever. Yeah, let me tell you my story. Here's the mud in your eye. It means to health and healing. To health and healing. And that's where it comes from. So they end up throwing this guy out in the street, as Pharisees do. And Jesus finds him out in the street. And Jesus asks him, see, everything that's happened thus far has been on the outside. It's been physical for this guy. Okay? And so Jesus, but he's excited about it. And Jesus finds him, and Jesus asks him, he says, you know, do you believe that I'm the Son of Man? And this guy says, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. That's the transaction. That's how he truly came to Christ. And the eyes of his heart were open. And they moved from darkness to light. It's a simple yet profound story of how Jesus changed one life. What's your story? What's your story? Man, in a room like this, the stories range from, you know, the biker gang to, you know, I've had an addiction my entire life. I came to the end of myself. To, you know, I was raised in Sunday school. I gave my life to Christ at 8 years old. And I've never missed a Sunday at church. And, man, I just love God still. You've got a story. Every follower of Jesus Christ has a story. So I want to challenge you today to do a few things. I want to challenge you to reflect on your story. Everybody. I want to challenge you to reflect on your story. Speaking to Isaiah, God said, review the past for me. He says to Isaiah, I want you to review the past for me. God tells him to look back and reflect on all that God had done for him and done for Israel. To recount those stories and retell those stories to his children for generations. Man, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've got a story to tell. Whether it's a dramatic transformation like this blind man or a gradual awakening to the truth like Nicodemus. Your story is your story. Nobody can take that away from you. And if you'll be faithful to tell it, God will use it to impact the lives of others that He brings into your life. God knows what He's doing. He knows who He's bringing your way. And if you'll just be willing, when you see the opportunity to share His story, to share your story, and you just lay it out there and you just let God do His thing and connect the dots. That's all He's asking us to do. Is to be faithful, to be obedient. Ask these questions, and they're in your bulletin notes. And what was your life like before you met Christ? What was your life like before you met Christ? And I think in your small groups this week, in your small group books, there are a dozen questions that you know you can ask to begin to reflect on your story and write your story. When did you first encounter Jesus? What made you step over the line of faith and really believe in Him? And then what difference has Jesus made in your life? Man, if you start with those four questions and begin to jot your story down, God will begin to use that story to change the lives of people He brings into your life. So reflect on your story. Number two, rehearse your story. Rehearse your story. Peter said this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Always be prepared. It's been said that success is where preparation meets opportunity. Success is where preparation meets opportunity. So rehearse your story so that you can then retell your story. The blind man, verse 27, he says, I love this guy. They said, wait a minute, what? The Pharisees, right before they throw him out, what? He says, man, I've told you already and you don't listen. This guy can't tell his story enough. He says, why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And throughout the scripture, the stories of God's greatness are told and retold. The oral tradition ultimately is how we came about the Word of God. It's passed from one person and one generation to the next. And the more you tell your story, the more comfortable you are telling your story. This blind beggar retold his story four times in this one chapter, in this one encounter. And you can bet his parents were impacted. You can bet his neighbors, who had seen him in that same place his entire life, were impacted. Everybody who passed him on a daily basis was impacted by this story. His life was changed, and even the Pharisees couldn't argue with that. Nobody, hear me, nobody can argue with a changed life. You can argue theology all day long and apologetics, and I enjoy that stuff. I do, but I'll tell you what, when it comes back down to it, everybody that I have gotten into those conversations with, the most powerful thing I can ever share with them, and I've seen it happen time and time and time again, is my story. I share it here probably once a month. 26 years ago, I met Jesus and He changed my life radically. And I'm still in the game. What's your story? What's your story? I want to invite Kimberly Grigsby up right now to share her story with us. I put it out there to you guys. If you would like to share your story of what Jesus has done with you, to let me know. And that's out there for you guys as we can continue in this series. And Kimberly responded. And so Kimberly, come on up right now. And doesn't have to do with like mud and spit, does it? No. Come on up and share your story.
I don't know if this thing is on or not yet. Okay. Well, I had something else prepared to say in listening to you, Pastor Phil. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit speak today. What was my life like before I met Christ? I think all of us have, we live under this equation, whether we know it or not, this thing that says appearance and performance equals acceptance. That's what my life was like before I met Jesus, and man, was I working hard in my life to be acceptable to anybody and everybody. I wanted, to be the best at whatever I was doing in school. I wanted to look the best, all those different things. And it just became so much of a weight, you know, trying to be perfect all the time and to get everything right all the time. I thought I could work and earn that. So it was on the surface, a real pretty life. You know, my dad was elected official. I was the this, that in school, all those different things. But on the inside, I was, like we talked about this week, I was empty. I was lonely, very lonely. I was fearful. And so, you know, I kept going through my teens, 20s, trying to earn somebody's love and acceptance. I had a baby, Justin, at 18, trying to earn somebody's love and acceptance, and got married, thought that was going to answer that space, the emptiness. Got, you know, had kids, thought family was going to answer that space, and I can remember distinctly getting to a place and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't live another day like this. I'm going, it was such a loud anger and frustration and fear. And I was like, God, I call it my Lieutenant Dan moment, where I wasn't on the top of a boat or anything, but I was shaking my fist at God, like, I'm reading this word and I see this thing called the abundant life. Like, what is this? That's not what I'm living. I'm not living an abundant life. And you said this was true, God, and you said you were real. And I said, if you don't show me that you're real, I can't go one more day. I had just had Nathan. Six or so years ago. And I remember distinctly the next day I woke up and I walked my dog like I had been doing. And the color on the trees was 3D. My ears heard the wind and the birds. I mean, it was like, it was almost like I was like, what is, like I was out of body. It was like, what's going on here? I guess you call that in my encounter with Christ, because I asked him to show me that he was real. I actually did my first sermon when I was 17 years old. I was raised in the church and all of that, and I was doing that form of godliness thing where I was trying to work my way into being right with God. And so that made me step over the line. I just knew that there was something different about that day. And I was intrigued. I was like, okay, what is this? And so I heard God call me out of the church that I was in and say, I need you to just come sit with me because I need you to hear my voice. I need you to know who I am. I don't want somebody else to tell you who I am. And so I was like, okay, are you sure about this, God? Because, like, we're supposed to go to church and we're, you know, what is this? But I heard him and I heard him and I did that. I sat with the Bible for like 2.5 years straight, and it started out on Sunday and then it became Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And it was like, I don't know if you've all ever seen the Never Ending Story where the kid is like escaping the school and he's like going into the little crevices just so he could read this story. And that's what it was like. And, it's like Jesus just took over my life. Not like with force, but it was like I was so intrigued by the realness of this person that I was interacting with reading this word. And so the difference that Jesus made, and I'll tell a short story. One of my girlfriends told me that she learns about God by watching her children. And so she has a little 2 or 3 year old, and the little 2 or 3 year old had this block set that has 3 blocks. So they put the little child was sitting there trying to put the blocks together and play like we do. And he was frustrated as all get. He was trying to put these blocks together and it wouldn't fit and it wouldn't work. And the mom's sitting there watching her child. And she said, baby, let me help you put those blocks together. And every parent in the room, no, I can do it. I got it. I can do it. You know, I'm good. You know, I can. And so she just sat there and watched her son. 45 minutes, hour goes by. And he put the blocks together, and they kept falling apart. And so she finally said, baby, would you please let me help you? And so the little boy, you know, like he's like evaluating, he's counting the cost, like, okay. He hands her one block. And she looked at it, and she said, baby, I can't help you with this unless you give it all to me. Mommy can help you, but you got to give it all. And her little son looked at her and looked at the blocks like, you know, like she could tell he was like saying, can I really trust her to give those blocks back to me, you know? And so, you know, he gave her the blocks and, you know, she put them together and gave them back. And when she told me that story, I realized that that is what I have been doing in this life. I have been trying to put the blocks of my life together on my own, struggling. I mean, fiercely failing. And God was sitting there waiting on the other side of the door of my heart for me to give him my blocks. And so for the last 2 years, my small group has gone through this with me. That's what I've been doing. I've been sitting there struggling with my marriage, struggling with my family, and evaluating, okay, God, all right, you know, I'll give you this block of my marriage, and I'll give you this block of my parenting. And the Lord said the same thing to me. I need you to give me all of it. Will you trust me that if you give me all of it, I'll give it back to you? How I have planned for you. So I gave him the blocks of my marriage. And today I'm divorced. And so God is still asking me, do you trust me that I know what's best for you, that I love you, and I'm going to give you back the blocks in the way that I've prepared for you? And so that's where I am in this stage of my life. I'm walking through this journey, and I walk through it with my small group. My poor small group has watched me struggle with those blocks, and they've watched me try to fix them and try to get their blocks and fix them. And, you know, I really think I can fix some blocks, right? So it's been such a blessing for God to send people around me through this to support me looking to him and seeking him and receiving him. And, you know, what difference has Jesus made in my life? He has taken it over in the best possible way. He's become it. I understand Paul's words when he said to live is Christ. I count everything as loss for the unsurpassing greatness of knowing him. I count it all as dung. I get it. Because I couldn't do. And that's one of the things he taught me. Kim, you can't do it. The law will show you how much you cannot do life. So that's the difference that he's made. I've experienced joy that I have never known possible through storms, through people hurting me, through disappointment. And there's still this buoyant joy that keeps me getting up every morning. I've experienced seeing that the mud coming off, the scales falling off, and seeing him and seeing me. You know, my identity is not about my appearance and performance anymore. It's about his performance. It's about his appearance. And the more that I see him, that scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that with an unveiled face, as we look at him, we're transformed into his image from glory to glory. So where do I talk about my story with Jesus? Anywhere and everywhere to anybody who'll listen to it. He's given me some wisdom on that so that I am following the Holy Spirit's prompt with that. So that it's him speaking and not me. But I mean, I could talk all day about Jesus. Jesus is all. I get that. He's my Savior. Came to save me from hell and sin and everything else. But he's my Lord. He's my life. So I'm just grateful to know him. And I'm thankful that I have life now for the first time. So that's it.
Amen. Good job there. You can take that mic with you. Great job. Oh, man, well, that's a real story right there. And we all have a story. You know, as Kimberly was talking about those blocks and everything, and we just sang the song Cornerstone. You know, he is the cornerstone, and he takes the blocks of our lives, and he builds them on him and allows us to live our lives in and through him. As the worship team comes, I want to challenge you guys to reflect on your story this week and rehearse it and be willing to retell it as we continue this journey of sharpen our tools to share our faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much just for God, just who you are. And Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for dying on the cross that we might be forgiven, that we might have a new life, be reconciled to our Creator. And Lord, spend an eternity with you and with him. And Father, we can't thank you enough. I thank you for Kimberly and her story and the just how you're working through the challenges in the midst of it. And Lord, we all have challenges, but we all have a story. Help us be faithful and obedient to share that story. And I pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.